Blog Talk Radio.
Truth. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
Are the Bible's prophecies today's reality?
This could be the sign that signals the return of Christ.
World leaders are working behind the curtains.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. Secret societies, secret oaths, secret proceedings.
Now, get ready for an hour of truth that will make you think. We'll examine Bible prophecy and see how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ for His church.
You're in the zone. Politics, Israel, the Middle East, the revised European superstate,
and more. All in the zone. This is the Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
Talking to you about Bible prophecy and what is going on in the world today. This is a new to this ministry is new to World Harvest Radio, and I'd like to welcome the people in the area of North America. It is a blessing to be able to come to you and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are so many things going on in the world, I don't even know where to start. There's going to be some articles I'm going to read to y'all. It's going to be very much about a month or two old, but everything's very much important. Jordanian king warns of a summer war. The king of Jordan has warned of a new regional war should an up-and-coming Arabian summit on Middle East peace process prove fertile. In an interview with the Chicago Tribune, the Jordanian king said that a meeting of Arabian countries will be held in July to discuss the so-called Middle East peace process. He stressed the importance of the results of the meeting, saying there should be changes by July or war is inevitable. Well, he's not the only one saying that war is coming. Gerald Celente, one of the better forecasters, is saying that war in the Middle East is inevitable. It's going to happen. A lot of other people are coming to that conclusion as well. The Bible says there should be wars and rumors of wars. And after that, nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. So it is a sort of a formality that wars and rumors of war should start first, and out of that will come a world war. And we have to keep our eyes on the Middle East, because this is God's timepiece. It is God's nation. The Bible talks about in Genesis chapter 12 that if you bless Israel, you'll be blessed, and if you curse Israel, you'll be cursed. Israel's holding defense drill this weekend amidst regional tensions. Israel held a dress rehearsal for disaster Sunday, beginning a defense drill to test the response of soldiers, emergency crew, and civilians to simulate missile barrage, meaning when the missiles are coming in, flying from every direction, which, if you look at a map, Israel has all their enemies surrounding them. So if there's a barrage of missiles coming in, Israel is practicing for 5 days to try to react in a positive way. Anyway, the article goes on. This is from the Associated Press. The article goes on to say, 5-day exercise, the biggest in Israel history, has raised allegations by the country's enemies that it is preparing for war, a concern Israel has sought to allay. Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said that the drills is a routine exercise that was scheduled long ago. Sure. I want to emphasize that this is not a result of an abnormal security development, he told his cabinet on Sunday. On the contrary, Israel wants quiet, stability, and peace, but it is no secret that we live in a region that is under threat of missiles and rockets. Now, keep in mind that Hezbollah got missiles from Syria and Iran, and they are in a military buildup to stockpile weapons of mass destruction against the Jewish state. We're going to take a break, and we will be right back.
Connecting the dots and showing you why we are more vulnerable than ever.
Greetings, fellow Americans. This is David Robertson, inviting you to come be a part of an American Warning Radio, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. Central.
You've seen the pieces. Now, come see the bigger picture, an American Warning Radio, with your host, David Robertson, on this and many other networks that value liberty.
All they're getting is mainstream media stuff. That's all they're getting, including Fox News.
The American Warning Program with David Robertson, just a great show. All kidding aside, the numbers are really starting to go up on that program, and I think once people realize that that's on now live Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock on this very station, you're going to be tuning in a lot more. That guy makes a lot of sense, and he's really good at what he does.
Warning. America. Warning. America's habit forming. Santa's habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Get more information at anamericanwarning.com. That's anamericanwarning.com.
Join me, Phil Armstrong, and Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio every Sunday and Saturday at 7 o'clock as we talk about end-time prophecy in line with the second coming of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You're listening to the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, we're back. You can listen to all those radio programs on Blog Talk Radio. That's Blog Talk Radio. You can also listen to the archives. Okay, getting back to what we were talking about before. The Lebanese president slams Israel for conducting military drills. And a lot of the countries that are in the Middle East conducting drills because they know that war is coming. The Bible talks about that in Matthew 24, and I know many of the audience is familiar with this piece of scripture. And the Bible is talking. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and they're asking them, "What should be the sign of thy coming in the end of the age?" And Jesus tells them what shall be the sign of his coming in the end of the age. And in verse 6 of chapter 24 of Matthew, he says, "And ye shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." And then he goes on to say in verse 7, "For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." And of course, in verse 8, it is the beginning of the tribulation period. A lot of people believe that there is a time that will come called Armageddon, and they believe that it is just going to happen out of thin air. There is no preparation, there's no time period. There's nothing to happen before this Armageddon scenario. And if you look at the movie 2012 and you read about 2012, about the Mayan calendar and the Mayans back in a long time ago, in that all kinds of universal movements of the stars and channels and sunspots and all this other stuff, you will come to notice that a lot of these people believe that Armageddon will come at a moment of time, at a period of time where the world, it just comes out of nowhere. But see, God's merciful. His mercies are every day. They're everlasting. So he puts us through a process. Now, what would you rather have? 2012 scenario where the world just ends in one specific weekend? Or would you rather have Jesus Christ and God himself put the world through a process and sending people out to give a message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the ends of the world for a witness to all that everyone can hear? And he will give you a set of 7 years rather than a weekend. What would you rather have, a weekend or 7 years to have the gospel preached to you? Well, I would say to you that it is very important that you will pick the gospel of Jesus Christ in the 7 years rather than the weekend. And I'm talking to people who are going to be on the other side of the tribulation period. So it is very important that God lets you know that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the most important thing that we can actually understand. And that is so important. I have another article. I have a few articles, actually, that is important. But first, I want to play for you let me see, some videos that I have from YouTube. Now, I'm also going to want to talk about today the economic problems that we're going to be having and facing. There's a man named Peter Schiff who has made a prediction just like Gerald Celente. And these men are very accurate. And it's kind of funny because when these guys are on the radio, the TV, NBC or any other program, and they're talking, they get these networks' attention because they are very accurate. Well, listen to this, and we'll be back.
These and the dollar.
I mean, buy these bits and commodities, buy some of these stocks abroad, and getting out of the dollar because it's a bottomless pit. When this dollar starts rallying, it's going to fall like a stone.
Not too bad.
I'm sorry, we had a little problem there with our audio. So we had some people come in the chat room. I apologize for that. So we're going to just keep going. But anyway, I muted myself. This is a long story. I muted myself. I was supposed to have played this clip, and I don't know what I was thinking. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and back this clip up and play it again. This is Peter Schiff. Now, you notice that the people on the networks, they get kind of upset when these guys are talking, like Gerald Salente or Peter Schiff, because they know how accurate these guys, these gentlemen are. They're pretty darn accurate. And when you listen to these guys, you're thinking, you know, oh, shoot, they talking about the economic collapse will come and wow. You know, but anyway, listen to God, we'll be back.
Restrictions on the eve of 2009. Our next guest has this to say about commodity and the dollar.
I'd be buying these dips in commodities, buying some of these stocks abroad, and getting out of the dollar because it's the bottomless pit. When this dollar stops rallying, it's going to fall like a stone.
Not too bad. Since that's a precious call, the dollar has fallen 10%. Gold, well, that's up some 50% or so. The always shy and reticent Peter Schiff of Euro Pacific Capital is actually back here on 7 and Top 3 predictions for 2010. Peter, it's a pleasure to see you in person.
Thanks for having me in.
Walk us through the top three. U.S. economy in worse shape. What happens to foreign stocks? What happens to gold? What happens to the dollar?
Well, the U.S. economy is in terrible shape right now. It's only going to get a lot worse. You know, Time Magazine ran a headline a couple of weeks ago where they labeled the decade that just ended, decade from hell. They were wrong. That was a decade from sin. This is a decade from hell, because now we're going to have to pay for all those sins, right? Last decade is when we borrow all this money, we print all this money, when we had the housing bubble, we had all this reckless spending. We're going to have to pay for it. The problem is we're still committing the sins, right? We still have interest rates too low. We're going deeper into debt. We're not allowing the economy.
Peter, we're here with what? In other words, yeah, we just had a great PMI.
Listen to this guy. A lot of these guys get so upset. Now, I don't blame them, but when you have somebody pretty much accurate like that, you have to almost say to yourself, wow, this guy's accurate. Now, why is these guys upset? Because he's bringing them truth. Well, the truth hurts sometimes. And when truth hurts, you got to just suck the wound up, bandage it up, and move on. Well, anyway.
High number. We've had housing numbers in terms of the housing indices that were up off of multi-month highs. We're seeing here. We're seeing
jobs. And the job report is
getting a number. It's automotive, but I mean, worse than what?
Housing prices are still too high. The only reason they're not falling, which would be a good thing, is because the government is artificially propping them up. You have 0% interest rates. You have tax credits. You've got the Federal Reserve buying up mortgage paper. You've got 96% of the mortgages being guaranteed by the federal government. That is not a good thing. This is a huge problem.
Well, it's a band-aid. I mean, it's about a stimulus to extend this. I mean, housing, whether it's too expensive or not, you're seeing the economy recover.
No, you're not seeing the economy recover. What we're doing is we're going deeper into debt and we're spending money, but beneath the surface, the economy is not recovering. The economy is getting sicker. And that's why at the end of the year, you're going to see unemployment higher than it is today. You're going to see interest rates higher than they are today. And you're going to see inflation higher than it is today.
At the end of the year, by the end of 2010?
The end of the decade, yeah. The end of the year.
The end of the year, okay.
So put those pieces together. If you see unemployment higher, the economy not doing well, where does the inflation comes from? The dollar being weaker?
Now, as they talk about the unemployment statistics, I believe the unemployment statistics is sort of like when you're sitting next to somebody and they start coughing and sniveling, and you say, what's wrong? You have a cold. I believe it. When unemployment happens, it's a product. It's a symptom of the conditions that we are in. It is not the overall subject. It is not the reason why. You can't say unemployment, somebody not being employed, is the reason why the economy is collapsing. If the people of the institutions, public institutions, per se, the stock market, are creating instruments like derivatives that are so sophisticated that a company like Hewlett Packard can go in with $100 million and buy $1 billion of derivatives. You can't say that the jobs markets are causing these problems. When you have a balloon and you go in with $100 million to buy $1 billion worth of highly sophisticated stock instruments, and there's no that high leverage is there. And then to top that off, the derivative markets are sophisticated instruments that if you sneeze in Tokyo, if the prime minister sneezes in Tokyo and the queen of Sheba farts, the market will respond. I mean, and see, the derivative markets are created by the globalists, the secret societies who really run the world. Yes, there are secret societies who run the world, to bring down countries like America. Because if you can't beat them, join them. And what I mean by that is the globalist figure, though, we'll just use the United States to make millions of dollars, billions and trillions of dollars on. And then at the appointed time, we should continue to rape the public. We continue to rape the society. We continue to rape the government. And then when we're done, just like a whore, we throw them out. Okay, get out, get away from us. I'm done with you. And that is a shame. That is really a shame. Well, let's continue with this interview.
Where do you get the inflation?
Well, inflation comes from that. I mean, inflation comes from money supply growth, and the Fed creates inflation. That's what they're doing. But ultimately,
they're not lending money. There's no money in circulation. I mean, the money is not.
They are. They're lending it to the federal government. Who do you think is financing the national debt?
Well, it's the countries of the world that you've actually been talking about.
No, but a lot of it is being financed or banks.
Banks aren't lending.
They're not lending to business. They're lending to government. The money is still getting into circulation.
Now, there is an article that I have, I gotta find it, that the FDIC will be broke by the end of 2010. There was also rumors that there were going to be bank runs last year. I believe that is set for this year. Bank holidays, is when the banks shut the doors because they do not have enough money on hand. Now, there's a such thing as fractional reserves, meaning that the bank doesn't hold all that money on hand. They only hold a portion of the money on hand. So when if a customer comes and says, I need money, they don't have the money there. They just get on the computer and say, okay, Fed, send me some money, and then that'll happen. They don't have all that money on hand. If you come in there for, especially these days, after the post-Patriot Act, when you come in to the bank and say, can I have this money, can I have this amount of money, they're going to give you that amount of money, all right, but you might have to wait for it, especially today. They're not just going to give it to you. Now, there is coming a time, probably this year sometime, well, I know it's going to be this year sometime, where the economy will start to sink quickly. But I think it's going to be a gradual sinking until around August. Now, if war breaks out in the Middle East, I think that the conditions of our economy here in the United States will just about respond quickly. I don't think we're going to have that much time. For my listening audience, when you see these things coming, before you see these things coming, right now, you don't have to wait until you believe me that these things are going to happen. You can test me and see. I go out and look for a bunch of men who knew what they're talking about, including Bible prophecy teachers and Bible prophecy preachers. And I also study myself. 1948, Israel became a nation again. And Jesus said in Matthew 24, this generation shall not pass. Generation in Psalms 90 is 70 years. And he said in Psalms 90, if you're lucky enough, you can live to be 80. And that is post-flood. God also told Noah, he says that man's days will be 120 years. So nowadays, with these foods that they're creating with all these poisons in them, we don't live long at all anymore. We just, we got aspartame in the diet stuff, and we got all these chemicals, and then in the tap water. It's like, okay, we know that the tap water, they even have commercials where they have this little thing you stick in the water and you test how much chemicals are and how much lead and how much junk is in your water. Okay, so you're testing that. Well, I think what we should be doing is a government promoting water purification. But, see, they want to kill you. And that's a whole different program right there by itself. And then also ask yourself a question. Why would somebody allow the organizations like Pepsi to put aspartame in the diet soda? Aspartame kills brain cells. It actually makes your memory go. I'm proving that. If I drink back in the day, I would drink a lot of diet soda, and I'm pretty much sure people out there forget where they park at, but I forgot everything. I mean, that was just I forgot my name. If you can, you get me on the right day, I'll forget. Wrong day, I'll forget my. I forgot my own name. That's how bad this was, and it was also causing me to have sleep apnea. And since I've stopped drinking so much diet soda, I don't have the sleep apnea episodes. Because there was a time that I was scared to go to sleep a lot of nights that I wouldn't wake up, and I'm pretty sure. There are some cases across the United States where people are dying in their sleep and nobody's backtracking it to aspartame. But anyway, of course, this show is for World Harvest Radio, and so what we do is we go off every 30 minutes. So have patience with us as we continue to restart the show every 30 minutes. The global landscape is changing daily, and the normal news agencies aren't showing you, and they're not going to show you that we are headed for war. But see, even if they did show you, a lot of people are only going to say, well, this has been happening for thousands of years. Israel's been fighting with their neighbors for thousands of years, which is true. But what the globalists, the people who really run the world, are going to capitalize on this. Now, let's talk about the trilateral mission right quick. They had a meeting back-to-back with the Bilderbergers, who will be having a meeting in June. And I'm pretty sure the Bilderbergers are going to talk about war with Iran. Now, there was a person from We Are Change organization who created a video about 9/11 and telling the truth about 9/11, that it was a complete scam, went and snuck into the Trilateral Commission's meeting. And they noticed that, this guy's sitting at the table, let's go sit with him. So they went and sit with him, and he thought that they were part of the Trilateral Commission organization, which they were not. So what happened was he started to spill the beans about Iran. He says, we're going to have to go ahead and go after Iran because our time is running out. We need to respond, and we need to go and get Iran. See, what the Bible talks about Iran is that Iran will ultimately be teamed up with Russia in Ezekiel 38 and 39 as allies. And we already know that they have signed peace pacts and peace deals. We're going to be going off right now. We're going to come back on the other side. So if y'all in the chat room, thank you for being in the chat room. But we're going to go ahead and go off, and we'll come right back on. God bless y'all. Y'all have a wonderful day. God bless. The people in the chat room, there's nobody in the chat room. I just put the chat room up just to see if anybody can hear me, actually. I'm kind of scared of the chat room, so I apologize for that. I'm kind of freaked out. I've had a lot of issues with this chat room, so that is why I don't even. There's people that come in the chat room, they come in, they come out. Now, there's going to be a time pretty soon where I'm going to keep promote the show throughout Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, and all these other places, but I just haven't done it in the past, so just bear with me. But anyway, we are going to come on the other side and continue with the show.
Truth.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
Are the Bible's prophecies today's reality?
This could be the sign that signals the return of Christ.
World leaders are working behind the curtains.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society.
Secret societies, secret oaths, secret proceedings.
Now, get ready for an hour of truth that will make you think. We'll examine Bible prophecy and see how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ for His church.
You're in the zone. Politics, Israel, the Middle East, the revised European superstate,
and more. All in the zone. This is the Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
In pivotal times that the normal media is not telling you, and they're not going to tell you because they are too busy trying to tell you how the oil spill is affecting the environment, which is a big deal, but at the same time, it is no more bigger deal than shock and awe, because they're going to bring you shock and awe in all kinds of different directions, so you will be appeasable to their mission of a new world order. Only thing they need now is a terrorist attack to scare the living daylights out of you and most American citizens, and they will say, I'll take the mark. You remember watching the Left A Thief at Night back in the 70s, where they got the girl, I guess the hitchman, the police officers had this lady, and they were taking her up to the guillotine. And I guess she was like, oh, shoot, they're going to kill me. I was going to ask Jesus into my heart and stuff. I'll change my mind. I'll take the mark. Imagine being on the guillotine and hollering, screaming, and changing your mind against the creator of all things to get your head chopped off. And do you realize that this is not a good thing to talk about on a Sunday, but do you realize that once that guillotine chops your head off, you're going to be in heaven, eternity? And there's a price you have to pay. The Bible says, pick up your cross and follow me daily. He says that if the world hated me, they're going to hate you also. This comes with the territory. And many people don't believe it comes with the territory. Everybody thinks it's easy believism. It's easy for me to believe that I can be saved without any doing anything, without any wars being fought. The Bible particularly tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 that there is a war being waged upon our souls, our children, our communities, our race against race. The Bible did not just speak of kingdom against kingdom. It was literally saying race wars will be in the last days. The Bible says that the enemies of your will be in your household. Those will be your enemies. It says, let alone the police and the terrorists and all these other entities that will be coming against you in the last days, and just the man down the street who makes a living at robbing houses. These things will be, your enemy will be in your own household, you know, and the people don't seem to figure that one out. So we are living in the days that God spoke about in His Word 2,000 years ago. Now, the Bible talks about, remember, Lot's wife. Jesus was speaking to remember Lot's wife. And why did He say to remember Lot's wife? Because while Lot's wife looked back. What did she look back at? She looked back at the cares of this life. The Bible says to be sure that you do not get caught up what the cares of this world, that day shall overtake you as a thief in the night. In Luke 17, it talks about, it says in verse 28, it says, likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they did drink, they brought, they sold, they planted, and built. So they did normal things. Everybody, soccer moms were taking their kids to soccer practice. Men were building businesses. Ladies were cooking German chocolate cake and getting recipes from each other. People were going on vacation. You know, tornadoes just hitting people's houses. I mean, rain is coming on the just and unjust. People just doing normal things. And just as in the days of Lot and just as in the days of Noah, it says they were marrying, eating and drinking and giving in marriage. Just normal things were happening until that time came. And the Bible says, it says, in that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. See, people's, even down to the last minute, people's cares will be for their things. It's in verse 32, remember Lot's wife. It says, whoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. That means that whoever shall give his life to Jesus and his purposes shall gain eternal life, and that life is in Jesus Christ. So when we think about having our life presented to him as a sacrifice, spoken of in the book of in Romans chapter 12, offering our life as a living sacrifice, that is the same as picking up our cross daily and following him. We must see the importance of this end time period that we live in. And I have put a video out that's saying we have 1 in 20 days to respond, and do I actually believe that? Well, I believe that we've hit a pivotal time in our history, and I think that men and women right now can get things right. And a lot of people say, "Well, I've done this and I've done that." That's not the point. The point is that you will bring it to Christ, and he will wipe away those sins. Joshua was a priest, and he in the book of Zechariah, he came to the throne, and the devil was there making accusations against him. He says, "Give him a new robe." He says in Isaiah chapter 5 that even though that their robe is filled with scarlet and stain, that God will make it white as snow. And it does not matter what you have done, my friend, in the past. God is here to wipe away those sins. But see, the thing we need to think about, though, is that we need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ on a daily basis. The Bible says that we are new creatures. Indeed, the only way we're new creatures is that we will acknowledge that we are in the camp of God. We are in that camp. Remember the Israelites who had a camp? They would go to various places. You can identify the Israelites that they were in that camp. They belong to God. And see, what we are is we are separate from the world. Now, we are not out. We are not of the world, but we are not out of the world. But that does not give you an excuse to be totally in the world and loving the things of the world. Because if your conversation is of the world, then you are, I'm not saying you don't make any mistakes or you don't make any blunders. I've made blunders and some to some extent still make blunders. But see, a lot of people who make the blunders are a lot of times those who really are human beings. You say, well, that doesn't make any sense what you just said. Well, if you look at Abraham, Abraham made a blunder where he tried to tell the prince of Egypt that was my sister. course, technically, he was right. It was his sister, but he twisted a lie. And then what did Abraham do? He went to Hagar, and his wife, Sarah, came up to him and says, hey, why don't you just take my wife, my maiden, Hagar, and make a baby, and then God will probably just let us use him instead of who he promised. And that was not on God's appointed schedule. Also, when people look down on themselves, they don't think about David, who actually killed the lady's husband in order to marry her. He actually sent him to the front line and killed him. And see, people say, well, I've done so many bad things in my life. Well, God is here to wipe away all those bad things. Never underestimate the cross. The cross, when Jesus said it was finished, it was finished. See, now here's the deal, though. We have to have a life that is dedicated to the Lord. I'm not talking about mistake-free. I'm not saying that. But the Bible says in the first book of John, it says, he who practices sin is of the devil. He who practices righteousness is of God. So if your lifestyle is righteousness and your lifestyle is reading the word and lifestyle is obeying God's commandments, then you are a child of the Most High God. He says in Romans chapter 8, if you have the Spirit of God, you are God's. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you are not God's. And in these last days, we are going to be going through some times where God is going to chastise us. He's going to tell us, you did that wrong, you're going to do this, you did this wrong, you're heading in the wrong direction, come back, do this, do that. And we feel bad about it. We feel really bad about it. And God, and all it is God's chastising us. He says, what kind of son will be if the dad did not chastise the child? And the Bible calls him reprobate. I mean, you're not even a child of God if he cannot correct you. So his wife called me Lord, Lord, and you do not do the things that I say do. Well, if you can't correct anybody, then they may not be a child of God in the first place. The rapture of the church is coming, fast approaching. I'm not a person who set dates or want to be specifically tied to setting a specific time period, but I will throw myself under the bus and tell you guys that the times of tribulation is fast approaching. This year may be the time period that it will start, and it will start in the Middle East, and it will continue on all over the place as far as the earthquakes and the pestilence and the famines, shortage of food supply, shortage of oil, because the globalists are setting off oil leaks all over. I don't know what they're going to do with this oil leak. Are they going to say North Korea did it? Or are they going to go and say, President Obama's press secretary accidentally said that they set off the leak. Now, I don't know if that was just a blunder, a mistake, or did they do it on purpose? Because sometimes politicians, they do things on purpose, and you wonder why would they just do that. But I wish I would have kept that tape. I favored it, but I don't really have time to find it for y'all. But the guy is accidentally says that we did the leak on purpose, but we didn't know it was going to get out of hand. Now the people that was listening, the press conference, the people at the press conference did not know if he was saying we did a leak as far as letting some information leak, or they didn't know if he was saying that we let it leak. We made the leak where the oil spill is being caused. We just don't know what's going on. But I'm pretty sure there's a reason behind that oil leak. Now, I don't know if it's a financial reason. I don't know if we're going to come out and it's going to be detrimental to our financial structure, because nobody, not even the most important men, I guess it's because they're saying that BP is a foreign entity and it has nothing to do with the United States. But if BP is if we're getting our oil from BP, we are all already on the brink of something being catastrophic from this oil spill. Because war starts in the Middle East and we're losing oil every day, then it's just a psychological thing that will happen in the markets rather than a physical effect on the markets, that losing oil every day. And they're losing thousands and thousands of barrels of oil per day, and they're lying and they're fixing the numbers just like the unemployment numbers. They're fixing the numbers and they're just saying that we're losing less oil than we actually are losing. But the times are coming when men will not endure to sound doctrine. They will not listen to the preaching of the true gospel. They will go to a church that will give them phony gospel, the gospel that is watered down, the Laodicean gospel that preaches that you should get rich in 2 seconds. God will bless you every 5 minutes. God is going to bless you, but I have a feeling once we stand in front of God and we go to heaven, we're going to find out that God was not wanting you to go out and get rich, but he would bless you if your priorities were right. And there are people out there that the devil will bless also. And the people will go off thinking that God is the one blessing them, which he is probably not the one blessing them. We're going to take a break, and we will be right back.
Connecting the dots and showing you why we are more vulnerable than ever.
Greetings, fellow Americans. This is David Robertson, inviting you to come be a part of an American Warning Radio, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. Central.
You've seen the pieces. Now, come see the bigger picture, an American Warning Radio, with your host, David Robertson, on this and many other networks that value liberty.
All they're getting is mainstream media stuff. That's all they're getting, including Fox News.
The American Warning Program with David Robertson, just a great show. All kidding aside, the numbers are really starting to go up on that program, and I think once people realize that that's on now live Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock on this very station, you're going to be tuning in a lot more. That guy makes a lot of sense, and he's really good at what he does.
Warning, America. Warning, America's habit forming. Saddest habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Get more information at anamericanwarning.com. That's anamericanwarning.com.
What you just heard was an actual recording of my daughter's heartbeat within my womb. And ever since my husband Jeff saw our moving, active, vibrant daughter by way of live ultrasound image and heard her precious heartbeat within the womb, he's been horrified that we as a society legally kill our children at this stage of life.
As a society, we legally kill our children.
This is the greatest human rights issue of our day.
To join in the conversation, Fridays 9 to 11, visit WeKillChildren.org and find the show. That's WeKillChildren.org.
Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You're listening to the Prosperity Zone on Blog Talk Radio.
We're back. And if you're out there in World Harvest Radio audience, I would like to welcome you. You can go and listen to the radio program on Blog Talk Radio, www.blogtalkradio.com/theprophecyzone. Or you can just go to Blog Talk Radio and punch in the search engine, The Prophecy Zone, and listen to the program. Sunday nights, it comes on at 7 p.m. Pacific time, and that's 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. God be with everybody out there. We need to pray for our nation. We need to ask God to be with this nation, and we need to ask God that the nation be with God, that the nation will not forget God. Men and women are into a position right now where God has delayed his coming for some years. People aren't paying attention to the climate. And as I look at the news, CNN news and all these other news programs, I don't see any warning signs at all. Now, the American people are the new Al-Qaeda. If you notice, there's even a program, if you watch it, I don't know, Eastern Standard Time, but Pacific Standard Time, Young Pacific Standard Time, you can watch it. It's called The American Al-Qaeda. And I said in a past show, a few past shows, that the new enemy will be the American citizen. And see, the enemies of freedom really hate freedom. But the enemies of freedom are not who you think. They're not the enemies who you think. They're not the men in turbans. They're not the American citizen. They're not, Syria or Iran. The men who are really our true enemies are in suits. They come to work every day on Capitol Hill, and they come to work every day in various corporations. Now, the corporate, that's why they call it the corporate media. These corporate organizations run the world. And it's kind of hard to swallow that the rich run the world. But if you really think about it, what do people normally say? The average person says that money makes the world go round. Well, in this case, the secret societies, the men who shot Kennedy, the one who did 9/11, these men really make the world go round. They change policy, they tack on taxes, and they make things uncomfortable for the average citizen. Now, as an American living in this world for the last 50 years, I have no complaints. Or another 40 years, I'm born 40 years. I don't know why I said 50. But living in this world for the last 40 years, I don't see how people can complain about living in such a free country. Because you can get up and you can do what you want to do. If you want to be a bum, you can be a bum. If you want to be an entrepreneur, you be an entrepreneur. Doctor, lawyer, garbage truck person, nothing wrong with that. But you can be anything you want to be. You can do whatever you want to do as long as you're not breaking the law or hurting another American citizen. But now coming a time that the Patriot Act and other various instruments, including executive orders, have created this, that the American citizen is the true enemy of society. American citizen, Joe Blow next door, is your enemy now. Well, if you want to be really specific about it, he is not your enemy. The man that you send to Capitol Hill to represent you is not your enemy either, technically. But when you look at it and you ask the question, why do we send these men to Capitol Hill and all we get is the same thing every year? Ask yourself the question, why? Why do we get the same thing every year? Why does this, the more things change, and I quote that word change, the more things stay the same? Now, a lot of people out there might be saying that, oh, President Obama is doing a great job. I'm going to ask you the question, great job at what? And I'll leave it at that. We are going to World War III by the end of this summer. By the end of the year, we'll be at World War III, and we'll also be at a market probably at 3,000. The stock market will probably be at 3,000. It will probably have to get someone's attention, so I'm specifically believing it will be around 3,000. So the stock market will probably lose most of its value. The bank runs will be... There'll be riots in the streets. There'll be rapture, the rapture of the church. There'll be all kinds of stuff probably happening this year. You say, why are you so blunt? Well, I'm blunt because I see it happening. If it's next year, it's next year. I'm not a prophet. I'm just a watchman on the wall. But I don't want to get it wrong. But at the same time, I can't see. As much as I look into the crystal ball, and I don't mean I'm being funny when I say that, I don't have a crystal ball. I have the Bible in front of me, and I just see everything just playing out on the stage, on the world stage, and it's just amazing to me. The internet is a blessing. When you look at the internet and you go on the internet, the news that they're not going to present to you, they're not going to present this news on Fox. They're not going to present this news on CSNBC. They're not going to present this news on CNN. They're not going to present this news on NBC, ABC, CBS. They're not. They're not going to give you this news, but I'm going to tell you this right now. We are headed for World War III, and the rapture of the church is soon to follow. And I know there's a lot of people out there that don't believe in the rapture of the church, but you will find out. You will find out pretty soon that there is a rapture of the church. You're at least going to find out in the next 2 years, a lot less. But my best guess is you're about to find out pretty soon that there is a rapture of the church, and we need to be ready. All those people out there listening to me, we need to get ready. Like T.D. Jakes said, get ready. I don't know if he's going to be ready, but we need to get ready. We have to get ready. The time is running of the essence. Go tell your neighbor. Go. You don't have to go out and start a radio program. You don't have to do all that. Just go tell your family. Go tell your friends at work. Go tell your military comrades. Go tell your football team. Go tell people. Tell Jesus is coming. You know, volunteer somewhere. Well, make sure you open up your mouth, because a lot of people out there believing that I'm a closet Christian. When you gonna come out the closet? You need to come out the closet now. The church needs you now. We need all our ligaments. We need all our body parts. We need every part to be in this thing. We have to get out there and warn the world of impending judgment. And it says you never have any positive news. I mean, the book of John 2:15 says to love not this world or the things in this world. I like being alive. I like life. I have goals. I'm occupying still. You have to occupy. You have to carry on business as usual. But at the same time, not careless business as usual. You heard what happened to Lot's wife. She looked back. She looked back with 1 John 2:15 in her heart. She looked at the world system. She loves the world system. I can't stand the world system. I'm going to tell you right now. The world system don't care about you. People don't, I mean, if you really look at it, people don't care about people the way they used to care about people. People don't care about people anymore. Your next door neighbor can't stand your child because he can cross the front yard. And I'm not saying that's universal, but I'm just saying it's you got to wake up and smell the coffee. Well, anyway, for my audience out there, make sure you go to Blog Talk Radio and listen to our program for 3 hours. Next Monday, we're going to be going on for 3 hours, so you can listen to it on Blog Talk Radio / it's at www.blogtalkradio/ The Prophecy Zone, and just go there and enjoy, and make sure you share a friend. And also go to www.theprophecyzone.org, and that will be finished this week sometime. So you can go on there and listen to the program for 3 hours long. Bless everybody out there. Make sure you get out and tell somebody about Jesus. We're going to come in on the other side for one more segment on 30 Minutes program. So God bless and have a wonderful day. God bless. We're going to be coming on with another show on the other side, so just bear with me. We'll be right back.
Truth.
government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
Are the Bible's prophecies today's reality?
This could be the sign that signals the return of Christ.
World leaders are working behind the curtains.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society.
Secret societies, secret oaths, secret proceedings.
Now, get ready for an hour of truth that will make you think. We'll examine Bible prophecy and see how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ for His church.
You're in the zone. Politics, Israel, the Middle East, the revised European superstate,
and more, all in the zone. This is the Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
Today, this is Phil Armstrong, and we're going to be talking to y'all about Bible prophecy. We are on the verge of the whole world turning topsy-turvy, and the world speaking as it did as a drunken sailor that we are coming to the end times. Is it something to be happy about? No. There are so many people that will be killed in this period. It's a sad thing for me to bring you this bad news, but it is good news for Christians. But it is selfish to acknowledge that there are going to be 2.5 billion people on the face of the earth and enjoy talking about it. I don't see how people can do that. Syria, Damascus will be no longer a city. There are children in Syria that will be killed. And I don't understand how Christians get up. I get excited because Jesus is coming back, but I don't get excited for anything happening to anybody. I don't care how wicked you are, unless you Adolf Hitler. No, it's just, I'm just joking. I was just joking. No, I ain't. Anyway, God is with us this day at this ministry that we will proclaim God's judgment upon this world, that we will warn people that a thief does come in. He comes not but to kill, to steal, and destroy. And Jesus had came that he might bring you life and that more abundantly. And by the Spirit of God, when you get that joy of the Lord in your heart, man, there's nothing like it. I don't care who's causing strife around you. You still, and how many mistakes you might make, evidently you still have that peace that God is your Savior. But that peace has to come along with knowing that you are doing the right thing. And the only way you know you're doing the right thing is through His Word. The Bible says, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." That's also distorted knowledge. Pick up His Word and continue in His Word, we won't know what is right and what is wrong, per se, what we're supposed to be doing to inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus had said that the kingdom of God is within us, and that is correct. When Jesus was talking about, "In my Father's house there are many abiding places or mansions, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place, I will draw you unto myself." Those places were actually glorified bodies. Now, I'm pretty sure there could probably be mansions up there in heaven, but the true temple of God is our bodies. And we must take care of it. And when we get our glorified bodies in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, we will be changed incorruptibly. We will not die. We will always live forever and ever. And ever. We're going to keep living. The sad thing is, folks, is that the person who goes to hell is eternally doomed. And that is what we're going to talk about today on the we are going to talk about a Bible prophecy, though, and we're going to wrap that around it, that people are excited that Jesus Christ is coming back, but we need to pray for the world. We need to pray for the United States, that people will be saved before they will be involved in anything. There are plane crashes that have been happening lately that 150 people, 120 people have been killed, and there's always survivors. Like, there was a little boy that survived one plane crash, and then there were seven people who survived the latest plane crash. Somebody had came in the chat room and made some type of stupid, he does that every time. I want to get rid of that. But anyway, I think a lot of people are wasting their time coming on a ministry like this and setting a precedence that is just unbelievable. They let me know that I'm doing the work of the Lord, or it's particularly by accident that these people come in these chat room and do this. But I'll pray for them, and that's the only thing you can do is pray for them. And with that being said, I'd like to welcome you all to the show. Jesus is the Good Shepherd, and there's only one way that the shepherd goes through the correct door. Now, there's a lot of false people who come in the same door, but they end up affecting the house. They come in, the wolf comes in, but the wolf comes in through the hen house with a hen uniform on, and he fools everybody to thinking that he is part of the batch of chickens or batch of sheep, but he ends up being a sheep eater or a hen eater, and that's exactly what's going on today in our churches. The Church of Laodicea is proclaiming the gospel of prosperity rather than preaching repentance, or else you and it says, well, the good news of Jesus Christ is that he, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But we have to have a balance that the good news is also given in his word, where he says that there's only one way. And when he says that the way is narrow to get to heaven. It's as broad as the way to lead to destruction, and many there be that find it. And in the last days, that people are going to be chasing after things that are irrelevant to the cause of Christ, and they're going to be chasing after college degrees and businesses and new houses and careers, which nothing is wrong with those on the surface, but but they are off course towards heaven and more on a course towards destruction. And hell is truly said to be at the center of the earth. Now, it says in Matthew 7, verse 13, "Enter ye in through the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in that way. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." So the narrow way is that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, and that we will believe in him. We ask him to be our Lord and Savior. Now, it is a daily lifestyle. It is a daily life. It is a offering your life as a living sacrifice. It is acknowledging that he is Lord, and there's a relationship between God and his creation, men and women. And see, a lot of people believe that, oh, I can just say a sinner's prayer and I can continue to do the same thing that I was doing. Or they can believe that they can continue to do their normal way of thinking and still be maintain their salvation. The Bible says that that we have to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and soul. And the second one, the second commandment was like it, love our neighbor as ourselves. And those are hard things, but God will give us the strength to do these things and the strength to get by and survive in these last days. Israel seems to be getting into position for war. And the book of Ezekiel 38 and 39 talked about Russia invading Israel with Iran, Persia, and a congregation of other nations, and they would get together and invade Israel. But the Bible talks about God saying, "And I shall send fire upon the coastlands and those who dwell carelessly." So will there be a war, a nuclear exchange between the United States and Russia? Russia has renewed their first strike policy. They said that they will do, they're not afraid to do a first strike. Now, America, on the other hand, President Obama's coming out on the flip side. He's saying he's going to have to think about it. Now, if missiles are in the air, and you don't have time enough to think, are you going to respond? Because deterrence can come with just Russia sending off a nuke and us sending off a nuke and both hitting where the designation needs to hit and saying, okay, we have you guys. We understand that you just sent off nuke. We just sent off a nuke. We're going to continue to destroy each other. So therefore, let's not do it anymore. See, nowadays, though, Russia's going to send off a nuke, and America's going to be sitting there thinking about it, and Russia's going to decide, hey, we want to test them again. Let's send off one more nuke, and all of a sudden, we're going to go in, and we're just going to take over the United States. You guys going to sit there and not do anything about it? We're going to think you guys are a bunch of punks, so we're going to take you over. Say, assured destruction was better off. And sure, destruction was with it. We set off a nuke, then you set off a nuke, then we all live happily ever after instead of killing each other. Well, that's what's going on as far as the United States and Russia. We know that Russia and the United States will get into a major war. Now, the United States is not in Bible prophecy. So we figured a couple years ago that either the United States changed its policies according to Israel, or they just completely turned their back on Israel, or the United States was in a position of great disarray, great destruction, just collapsed on the world scene, and now the ball turns over to the European Union's. And that's what happened. But from what I'm seeing right now, it looks like President Obama will probably turn his back completely on Israel. Or when war starts, he will claim that they did not have anything to do with the Israel. Yeah, and I believe that's what's happening when the Prime Minister of Israel came over to the White House and they treated them so badly. I think that this is what happened. Or the policies of the United States was trying to make it look like that we're not 100% on the Israel side. So the war does start off. Now, President Obama did send carriers over to the Middle East just recently. First, they just headed out for the Middle East. And that is very alarming. And also the Jordanian king saying that war is inevitable. Gerald Celente and Bob Chapman and various Alex Jones, various other people are saying that we are headed for World War III. And a lot of preachers are on the God said we'd do nothing without him first warning his prophets or teachers or preachers first. And the real preachers are online as saying that there are going to be some things happening in the not too distant future, and we need to be prepared. If you're out there, Jesus Christ died for our sins. He died that we should have eternal life rather than eternal separation from God. And hell is not something to toy with. See, when you're there, when you go to hell, and what happens if you just float out your body and an angel comes or a demon comes and escorts you down into the stratosphere and then zoom you back down and go and blow, you know, blow a hole right into the ground, and next thing you know, you're going into hell, and you can feel the hot heat, and you end up, you know, it throws you on the ground, and there you are. I don't know how that happens. Or you just die, and you just wake up, you just blink your eye, and then you're in hell. I don't know, because the Bible does not express that. But it did talk about the rich ruler and Lazarus. Lazarus being at the bosom of Abraham, and he's and the rich ruler is asking, have Lazarus send me some water, so I'm in agony down here. And then he asks, can you send somebody to talk to my brothers? Can I come out and talk to my brothers? No, you can't. There's a gulf between me and us and thee where you can't get back. And that's sad, folks. I mean, we cannot, once the individual goes to that hell, they can't come back. You know, and then also think about a person who is over the age of accountability to just slightly. Just think about a child who died, who is 14, 15, 16, 17 years old, who has not even lived life, and they died in a gang shooting related accident, or they got just in a car crash. And just think about this. That's sad. They don't even get to live their life. They don't even know any better, really. And they are dying, and there's so many people, just so many kids. We got to pray for them. Folks, if we don't pray for them, they're going to end up going to the wrong place, and they're going to be there forever. We can't let this generation die their sins. We just got to pray for our nation. There's evangelism where you can just sit down on your knee, or get on your knees and just pray for the country, pray for your relatives, that the individuals get saved. Pray that the nation gets saved. I ain't talking about no revival, because I don't see any revival in the Bible as far as pre-tribulation. I don't see any revival. I see a falling away, but I don't see a revival. Now, I do see a revival in the tribulation period. The Bible says that John could not count the number of people that were saved in this period. There are going to be a lot of people out there who tell their families about the end times, and their family going to look at them like they're crazy. And I know this is fast approaching. It's when people are going to say, well, man, my family members told me about this, Jesus was going to come back. Jesus will come back at an appointed time, a feast of trumpets, of Rosh Hashanah, the day that no man knows the day and hour, but the Father only. That is the holiday observance day of the Feast of Trumpets. If you read Leviticus 23 talks about the Feast of the Lord, the first four feasts, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of First Fruit, Passover, and Pentecost, were the Jesus' first coming. Now, the last three is the Feast of Yom Kippur, Tabernacle, and the Feast of Trumpets, which I spoke of. The end times will come. The day, the Bible says, the day of the Lord shall begin as a thief in the night. If you observe a Jewish wedding, for instance, Abraham sending Eliezer out to find Isaac a wife, and Eliezer probably went to the father of the wife, Rebecca, and said, hey, my master's son will be back to get your daughter at appointed time. So he leaves and he goes back and prepares a place for Rebecca. So finally Isaac comes and gets Rebecca, takes her into the chambers for seven days, and come out, and they're married. Well, only Abraham knew what day and hour that she was going to be taken by the man, the son Isaac, and Isaac did not know. But did he know? I'm pretty sure Isaac knew the stink. Now, the Bible says no man knows the day and hour, but some of y'all probably out there saying, well, didn't God say specifically that no man knows the day and hour? Well, if I tried to figure out what day and hour it is, I would probably lose all my hair, which I don't, I'm bald head anyway. I'm just being funny. The day of Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, is a two-day event. Now, right now, it is 8:19 here. So in the West Coast, on the East Coast, it is 11:19. So in about an hour, it's going to be 19 here, and it's going to be 12:19 there. So it's going to be another day. So it'll be another day in New York, where it's going to be the same day here. Now, it'll be a specific time period in Israel, and then it'll be another time period in China. There are different time zones. So for someone to say no one knows the day and hour, that's true. You don't know the day and hour because they're different time zones. And to that point, also, God did not want the church to know. So you probably say, well, why are you telling the church now? Because he don't mind you knowing now rather than he would after. He always wanted imminence, that Jesus can come back at any moment to take the church out. God has always wanted that. But he also wouldn't mind if somebody come with a sincere heart that knows, hey, Jesus is going to come back. And if you're out there and you see what I'm saying is true, before that happens, you should take a leap and respond. I'm not the greatest speaker in the world, but at the same time, I'm letting you know that the times of refreshing is at hand. Jesus is coming back for his church, and he will close the door on this great age of grace, and he will start a new time period known as the time of Jacob's trouble that is fast approaching us this day. Now, let me give you predictions, and I'm not a prophet, so don't tell me I'm a prophet. And I'm a false prophet because I'm not trying to tell you I'm a prophet. I'm not trying to do that. I am a watchman on the wall, Ezekiel 33. We're going to continue to see America Al-Qaeda. We're going to continue to see the secret societies try to blame Christians for everything that is going on in the country. You're going to see a complete. You're going to see the markets gradually collapse. You're going to see probably pretty soon it could go back above 10,000, a little bit more, but you're going to see it start to gradually decline. But you're also going to see a major war between now and the July with Israel and its immediate bordering nations. Psalms 83. 83, you're going to see that Israel has immediate nations like Syria, Jordan, Lebanon, Egypt. And you're going to see those countries come against Israel, Hezbollah. But it's probably going to start with Hezbollah and Hamas and the Palestinian Authority. And it's probably going to escalate to Syria. You're going to see Syria use chemical weapons and Israel respond a little bit later, a couple of weeks down the line. You're going to see Israel respond with a totalitarian nuclear strike in Damascus. And you're going to see Russia respond sometime in early September with a full-blown invasion of Israel. And we're going to be sitting, the pizza sales are going to go up, the vodka sales, the beer sales are going to go up. People are going to be sitting on their couch watching the end of the world as we know it. There's a sun saying it's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine. What a sun. That's not funny at all. I'm not the type of person who want to see people die. Because hell, the Bible says hell has enlarged itself. Hell is hot. I mean, why would I want to see, I don't even want to see soldiers go over to Iraq. How much more would I want to see people go to hell? That is the sad thing. And if you're a Christian and you don't believe that's sad, then you need to seek the Lord and have him give you a heart that this is not, I mean, wow. You're in hell for eternity, folks. There's no break time. Break time, you know, 15-minute break. There is no break. I mean, and the thing is, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to go and murder somebody to go to hell. You don't have to go and rob a bank. You just be a sweet old lady who does not have Jesus. That's sad. You could be a child. You could be over there in the Palestinian Authority talking about we want to kill, blow up a house. You say, well, you're saying that a little kid who wants to blow up somebody. Yeah, that's sad. That's literally sad. First of all, he's sad that he thinks that way. They raise their kids to be terrorists. I mean, not just that. I mean, there are people dying every day. There are people getting kidnapped. I mean, even a 19-year-old girl who gets kidnapped, that's sad that some people go to, I mean, that's sad. You got nice people go to hell. If I'm a really wiggle and really have a hard time with understanding that, I still don't understand it. But I'm not going to leave God because I don't understand it. I don't understand. Children going to hell. I don't understand. Old people going to hell. I don't understand. Sweet old lady. I don't understand. I still don't understand. But that's what I'm here for, to warn people. Just because I don't understand, that doesn't mean I'm going to sit down on my butt and not do anything. Look, folks, you don't have to start a radio program. Just sit next to the person on the bus and say, do you know Jesus? You don't have to come out like that, but you know what I mean. Just talk to your neighbor. I mean, he's not asking you to go out and start an evangelistical across the whole world. He's not asking you that. He's just asking you to do your part. Do it quickly. Because next thing you know, the 144,000 Jews and the two witnesses are going to take over from here. I'm pretty sure they're going to be church people who are preaching the gospel. The Bible did not address that, so evidently they weren't really effective. The Bible did not address the church, any type of form of organization preaching the gospel, because the church is already gone. They're already raptured out. So it did not say in God, you know, protect the saints to preach the gospel. Did not say anything about that. The saints are neutralized probably by the Antichrist. I mean, they will be preaching the gospel amongst each other. But anyway, if you enjoyed the show, just go to www.blogtalkradio.com/theprophecyzone and listen to the show for 3 hours. Next week we have a 3-hour show for y'all. And also, I'm getting my website up. You can go to www.theprophecyzone.com or .org and check out our website. And if you like the show, just let us know by just emailing us that you liked it. God bless y'all, and y'all have a wonderful night, and we see y'all next week. Remember to listen to the Prophecy Zone on World Harvest Radio at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard. Eastern Standard Time. And we'll be looking for your response. And y'all have a wonderful day. God bless.
Look down, let me hear. Thank you.